Speakers, publishers, consultants, coaches, and info marketers unite. The Speaking of Wealth Show is your roadmap to success and significance. Learn the latest tools, technologies, and tactics to get more bookings, sell more products, and attract more clients. If you're looking to increase your direct response sales, create a big-time personal brand, and become the go-to guru, the Speaking of Wealth Show is for you. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
It's my pleasure to welcome Brian Massey to the show. And we have a scientist in the house that is a conversion scientist. And we're going to talk to Brian about his show. And I discovered it a while back and really enjoy it. And talk about some of the big problems we face as entrepreneurs, speakers, authors, consultants, info marketers, thought leaders, whatever the heck we are. It all falls under the entrepreneurship banner. And let's talk about how we can make our websites convert better. This is obviously a critically important thing. And Brian is joining us from beautiful Austin, Texas today, otherwise known as Awesome Texas. Brian, how you doing?
I am doing great. And yes, it is Awesome Texas.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the problems. You know, the nice thing in talking to you is you're really in the crowd of our audience. You're an entrepreneur, you're a speaker, you publish. And so you can really kind of understand what some of the challenges are. And then let's talk about how we can solve those challenges.
I think the number one challenge is for, you know, I started Conversion Sciences in December of 2007. So I've been doing this quite a while and made the decision that I was going to be a content marketing approach because I enjoyed presenting. I enjoyed speaking. I enjoyed writing. So this was going to be my primary marketing tool, even though back then we hadn't really coined the term content marketing. It was the direction I decided to go. The point behind this kind of approach, which served information marketers, authors, and so on, consultants, coaches, is that you're building a list. You're building a list and hopefully a well-qualified list. The money is in the list. And so being able to use content to build that list, being able to use content to mine that list and turn those folks into clients is what it's all about. And it all comes back to that central list. So that is the problem. If we're going to create an amount of content, we've got to get the word out to draw people, to get them to convert, to join our list. And the place that that usually happens is in something that is either a blog or something that looks like a blog. So our content is going out on blog pages or on landing pages that we create around a piece of content. And we're inviting folks to give us their contact information in exchange for content that is relevant and that we believe is going to predict that they are likely to be buyers of our content or at least sharers of our content so that we can reach out there. And that is really where the rub is. You know, if I was able to go back 7 years and do things over, I would focus more intently on how I turn people who are visiting my blog, coming to see the articles that I'm writing, to subscribe to my podcast, all of those things. I would focus more intently on how I turn those people into subscribers because for most of that time, I was simply saying, oh, you should get this wonderful content by email. These days, there are a lot of other things that we can try. So one of the things that are always resisted by folks in our position and running businesses like ours is doing things like popovers. Well, as it turns out, although everybody says they hate popovers, these overlays that pop up and say, hey, join our list, they always work. In some cases, they're...
Do you want to distinguish the type of popover? I mean, there's a lot of variety here. Is it the type that grays out the page? Is it the type that won't let the person look at the page at all until they complete it? Or there's a little X down in the lower corner where they can, you know, they can kill the popover and then start looking at the site. Maybe a distinction there is important probably too, right?
I use it as an example, but if you were to look at the sorts of options you have the kind you're talking about, what we call the light box where it grays out behind you. I have not tested that against a type that completely blacks out the background. But the things that are also testing well is what we call scroll-triggered popovers. So you have to scroll down a page for a certain way before it shows up. Exit popovers, when somebody closes the browser, navigates away from your site, you can actually present a popover saying, hey, don't go away. I'm willing to give you this other report for less or offer your services at a discount. The truth is that there are a number of different ways of doing this. And I think that you want to pick the one that feels right for your brand, your personal brand. But don't be too conservative with that. People say they hate the popovers, but the popovers always work.
Good to know.
Now, I use that as an example, but making sure that there are calls to action in your content is another really powerful one. And so by that, I mean, rather than having a box off to the side, for instance, on a blog content page, making sure that you've got something in the body that is inviting people to join, and even placing a sign-up form in the content at the bottom of the content or right at the bottom of the content, because that's really where our attention is, and there's quite a bit of blindness over on the right. So these are all things that if we're going to use a content-oriented marketing approach, that we have to stop and think about how we place these content beacons into our and around our content so that we're actually building the list. You should never produce a piece of content that doesn't have the intention of getting more people on your list, because those are the people that have raised their hand and are more likely to become customers.
When you say calls to action within the content, you mean with a link included, like join our program here, you know, we talk more about this, blah, 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 such and such.
It could be a link, it could be a button, it could be a complete form, it could be just a button or a link that goes to a landing page that sells an offer. But yeah, something that is within the copy and, you know, related. I mean, it's pretty easy to segue at the end of a post to say, and if you're interested in this, you'll find our 23 points white paper ebook really valuable to learn more about this.
So calls to action within the content using popovers, but let's talk for a moment about the significance of the overall issue of conversion. What surprised me in talking to you is how much some people who are aware and concerned about this topic are willing to spend to really understand what is going on with conversion on their pages, on their sites. Maybe a case study or an example of the significance here for one of your clients.
Let's take a kind of a generic example, just to kind of understand the crazy math of conversion. Let's say that I am spending money on AdWords to bring traffic to my website. The analog to this is what we're doing is spending money on content so that we're getting organic traffic to come to our website, or we're sharing it on social media to get social traffic to come to our website, read our content, join our list, and then we're using email to turn them into clients. But pay-per-click is good. Let's say that we spend $2 to get somebody to click to come through on our site, buying an ad on a certain search engine. If we can double our conversion rate, so let's say our conversion rate is 1%. 1% of the people that visit are subscribing to our list, one of our lists, downloading our content in exchange for the contact information. If we can go from 1% conversion rate to 2, which means 1 in 100 people to 2 in 100 people, we're effectively cutting the cost of our advertising in half. So I can now advertise half as much and get the same result, or I can take that money and simply buy more ads at the higher conversion rate. So when we work on the conversion rate of our sites, not only our pay-per-click ads, but what we're spending in content to build our search engine optimization is being cut in half effectively. And the beauty of conversion is that Google can't take it away from us. They can't panda us out. Our competitors can't take it away from us. They can't bid higher on AdWords. The ad networks can't price us out. We own it. The things that we've changed on our site come from us ideally trying things and ideally doing split tests so that we understand what makes our visitors tick. And I think that's just a really valuable point. I think that's the bottom line of conversion and why you invest in it. And you can take conversion to the bank. I mean, if you can move your conversion rate 0.1%, then you can calculate what the increase in revenue would be. In businesses like ours, we calculate the value of somebody being added to our list because we know what percentage of the people on our list are going to turn into customers, what the average order value is. So we can calculate that. If we can do the math that says even a small change in our conversion rate, what will that do to our revenue over a year? We begin to understand how much we can and should be investing in terms of time and money, making our website more welcoming to our visitors. And more importantly, I think there are a lot of us making mistakes, driving people away, inviting them to go off to social media and share stuff, which has very low value. I mean, you paid to have them come. You worked very hard to get someone to your site. Why send your store-bought traffic off to Mark Zuckerberg?
Yeah, I love that. That's a very interesting point. You know, we all want to be social, and I'm noticing that about your sites now. You don't have social links.
We don't. I mean, if there's something that I really want to be shared, I'll put that call to action in the content. But no, we're very jealous of visitors. If they come to our site, we're doing everything to get them to stay and read more, subscribe to one of our programs, give us their email address and subscribe to one of our lists, the Friends of the Author. We have a course integrated to our blog at conversionscientist.com, which is actually turning out to be, it's new. It's very valuable in terms of building the list. And over time, we're going to find out if those list members are well qualified. In other words, if it's a strong list that it's building.
But what about just adding the, I think a lot of marketers look at it as a bonus, you know, if they get them to follow them on Facebook, get a like, not leave the page, then they get to keep impacting them in another venue. You know, they're there already. We know they're on Facebook. We know they're on Twitter. Why not have a link to them there as well? Certainly, I don't want them to leave my site. I agree with you there.
Getting a like on Facebook, as an example, it is very difficult for them to ever see anything from you ever again unless you spend money advertising.
And Facebook has come out and really said that now. They've sort of admitted that. Yeah. Organic is over.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, they're all going to go that way. And that's how they make money, and more power to them. I own my subscriber list. No one can take that away from me. But, you know, Mark can change his mind, and folks at Twitter can change their mind, and Google Plus can change their mind, and let them do that. So if I'm doing anything to have this traffic do anything other than focus on what I have to offer, my value, and my list, it's a distraction. It's going to generate a certain amount of abandonment. Unless you are one of those magical people that really knows how to make Facebook ads and lookalike segments and things work for you, I would put the social media icons on the thank you page after they sign up for something. And that's when they're most likely to share, because they now think more highly of you because psychologically they bought from you and that makes you more valuable. Don't ask me why.
I think that's a good philosophy on it, and I'm now thinking about taking some of these social links off. So very good point. And you know, can always advertise in those venues anyway and attract their traffic to you in reverse, like you said, and we both talked about organic is pretty much over probably. And you know, that's for the benefit of the social media host, obviously, for that. You do a lot of split testing, it sounds like. Any thoughts about colors? We talked about people agonize over button colors. You know, maybe you can put that one to bed, but just colors in general too, and look and feel, you know, just any of the sort of the visual element.
Any page, you want to create a visual hierarchy. The most important item on the page is going to be the headline. It is the thing that's bringing them, that says, oh, this is the link and the topic that you were looking for, and I've written this headline to entice you to continue to read on. On pages where you're trying to get them to buy something, where you're trying to get them to sign up for something, specific landing pages, your hierarchy really needs to flow from that offer. And so you're using color, and I'm not a designer, so I really rely on well-designed templates or designers who know what they're doing to use color, space, font, size, and placement of imagery and juxtaposition to really guide the eye to those things. Everybody's always talking about what color should my buttons be on my landing pages. Well, the button color that's going to work best for you is a button color that is different from anything else on that page, because your visual hierarchy needs to let the visitor know that this is a page that's asking them to do something, and the text that's on that button needs to tell them what they're going to get, and that starts the hierarchy. So that's the most important thing. There might be a form along with that. There might be some video. The headline has to be in the upper right, which is the primary point. And so what you're doing is you're using, again, space and placement and font and such to guide the eye. Headline, major call to action. The thing that works for your audience is liable to vary. So I can provide you with what works as a best practice standpoint, but I strongly recommend that you make small changes to these money pages, these really important pages, these landing pages, product pages, and the calls to actions you place around the content that you're providing. Let's make small changes one thing at a time and see if you can start to get more and more people to subscribe as a percentage of your total visitors.
That's definitely valuable. Thank you for sharing that. Do you have any sites that you can mention for the listeners as that you hold out as good examples? And maybe bad, I don't know if a bad example is that hard to spot, but maybe it is sometimes. But you know, definitely some good example sites would be great.
I would look at the folks at conversionxl.com. They're technically a competitor of ours, but we like the work they did so much that we had them design our sites. And they do a very good job with landing pages. I wish that this one was still available.
I was thinking you can use your own site as an example too. You know, you're welcome to.
It's a new site. It's been up less than a month, and our traffic is such that I don't yet have the results. So I can't say, yes, this is absolutely working. The early results were that we were getting more leads, but that the quality had gone down. So we are actually testing some things on our corporate site, which is is conversionsciences.com. And depending on what test you get in, it will be more or less corporate looking. And our blog is conversionscientist.com, in which the new site there is really performing very well in terms of building our list because we've added this very small course. It's a fairly simple offer. Join up, get a course. We chose a plugin that awarded points and badges. So we gamified the blog a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I just chose 9 posts that I thought were important that entices you to read through.
I'm glad you mentioned gamification. What app are you using for that? And do you like it?
Oh, it's a WordPress plugin called Badge OS, as in Badge Operating System. I had some help integrating that, so I'm not sure how hard it is to set up and customize. Now that it's set up, I love the control and the power that I have to create these little incentives and play games, and my autoresponders are all focused right now around the badges and building those up. So in terms of accelerating the growth of our list, it's been a real boon. The question we need to ask, and we have a fairly long sales cycle, is are these the kind of people that are going to be buying our services in the future?
We talked about a couple of tips we started off with. We talked about colors. We put the button color idea to bed. Just not worth agonizing over that, you're saying, huh?
Make it stand out. That's all you got to do.
Do you know how many times I have heard internet marketers agonize over button colors? It's mind-boggling.
So the question of, do you put the credit card logos there? Do you put the price close to the button? Do you cross the price out and put the discounted price? Do you put risk reversal near the button? You know, if you're making it the kind of the center of the story, then things close to it will really impact it. So there are a lot of questions about how the button is treated, but button color should be put to rest at this point. Yeah. Just something that stands out.
I really liked the couple of tips you shared at the beginning, and I took you off on another tangent, but you know, just any more tips in general, you know, that you want to share, like, you know, you mentioned the popovers and so forth.
There's really a kind of a basic recipe. And I think the first thing you should do is go and look at your blog content pages, because if we're using our content and advice as our content marketing, then our blog pages, our content pages, our post pages are landing pages and they have to convert. And the things you want to look for are these. If there are images on the page, do they have captions? And can you write a caption for the image? If you can't write a caption because you've chosen a stock photo of a pretty smiling person, yeah. Why have it?
That's exactly. A great rule. I love that.
It's used as filler images. We call it business porn.
Yeah, right.
Just something designed to manipulate somebody. So use an image that you can write a caption for, and ideally the caption would be a repetition of an offer of some sort. And anything you're adding to the page needs to build trust, needs to provide proof. This is one of those things where the icons for social networks kind of cross a border, because if you put like a Facebook logo on your site, you're actually borrowing a little bit of trust from them, but you don't want them to go away and go off to Facebook. So That's the only situation in which having social media icons makes sense in my mind.
So do you think we should put non-clickable icons? You know, hey, we're on Facebook, but you know, this will not be where you click to get there.
One of my, actually not even a client, just somebody I had given a free consultation to, put a Facebook Connect button below the form that allowed visitors to sign up on one of their landing pages. And people didn't use the Facebook Connect, which automatically pulls their information from Facebook so they don't have to complete the form. Most people didn't use it. A very, very small percentage used it. But there was an 88% increase in the number of people completing the form that was on the page. And that was the only thing that changed. So clearly in this page, and it was a page in which trust was an issue, it was an industry in which trust was an issue, Facebook being there was a huge help. I think you need to make that decision for yourself, but absolutely don't be using anything that's causing people to go off to Facebook and find out what happened at Aunt Bertha's wedding and what have you. So
you are really making me rethink things, because also the other thing about the social media component is it really does take quite a bit of effort and time on your staff to maintain all of that. You know, first when it was like really gaining a lot of traction a few years back, it was like, oh, let's get our clients to ask questions on the Facebook page for the podcast. And, you know, I just never liked that. I just never was a fan of that, but my staff kept recommending it. You know, oh, let's get them in there interacting and engaging. I want them to ask questions, but I preferred an Ask Jason button on our website. Well, they just as soon go there as Facebook and then can offer other things on our site while they're there, and it increases our visits, so it increases search results, and that's all good, right?
Like I said, if you're one of those people that has figured out the recipe in your industry to make social media work for your business, more power to you. But most of us have not. that. And especially when you're selling business to business, there is a disconnect between Facebook and Twitter and what we're doing. I use it actually more as a broadcast medium than building a number of likes and things like that. So that's the way we use it. Just to kind of finish up my point, don't put anything on landing pages and pages you're going to treat as landing pages where you're getting new traffic that doesn't support the offer. And in the case of content as a magnet, you have the content and then something to describe why they should subscribe or get another item that is not a part of the form, that doesn't build trust, that doesn't offer proof, and isn't a part of the image portion of your copy. Anything else, you have to wonder if it's not a distraction, is not going to create abandon. And if you kind of keep it simple that way, keep your offer related to what people are coming in and expecting, then your pages are going to start converting more and you're going to be getting leverage of ever decreasing cost of marketing effort.
Very good point. Those are some great tips. And Brian, please give out your website. Tell people where they can find you.
If you're interested in reading my book, in which I talk more about the kinds of website you can be building and the key strategies and all of the tips around building what I call the blog volcano, which for information marketers is awesome, go to customercreationequation.com. Sorry, it's so long.
That's a big name.
Customer Creation Equation. For conversion sciences, you will learn a lot about conversion at conversionscientist.com. That's scientist as in what I am. And our corporate site is Conversion Sciences. The name of the business is Conversion Sciences.
Excellent. Good stuff. Well, Brian Massey, thank you so much for joining us today. And remember, you are a scientist. I love the intro to your podcast where it says that, by the way.
I'm back off, man.
It's awesome.
Bill Murray, he does it for us.
Yeah, that's good. It's very catchy. All right, Brian Massey, Conversion Scientist, thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Copyright the Hartman Media Company. For publication rights and interviews, please email media@jasonhartman.com. This show offers very general information. Opinions of guests are their own. Nothing contained herein should be considered personalized, personal, financial, investment, legal, or tax advice. Every investor's strategy and goals are unique. You should consult with a licensed real estate broker or agent or other licensed investment, tax, and/or legal advisor before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed. Please call 714-820-4200 and visit www.jasonhartman.com for additional disclaimers, disclosures, and questions.